Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone here in the in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was listening to Trevor's sermon this morning, and I thought he was going to walk all over it, but actually he didn't. There's a couple places that are going to be the same scriptures, but that's okay. Must be something that the Lord wants us to take with us and let it sink in. You know, Monday is Valentine's Day, and on Valentine's Day we oftentimes give expressions of our love to those around us, and you know, we either give cards or candy or flowers or jewelry, expressions of our love. And that's all fine and dandy. That's good. Because we do love people. I think the greatest Valentines that I receive are from my grandkids because they're homemade and they're from the heart. And I'm going to talk about love tonight. That's the topic of my sermon. And when Alvin said that he was going to introduce me tonight, I didn't know what he was going to say and to introduce me. But for some reason, something popped into my head that happened, probably close to 20 years ago now, that I hadn't thought of for a long time. But when it happened, it caught me off guard. And I'll just explain it a little bit. I was meeting with a group, and we were studying baptism over at the Harris House, and Glenn was there, and I don't remember exactly how far into the study we were, but we'd studied for several weeks. We met every Friday night, and on the way out one time, as we were doing our parting half hour at the door, Alvin told me he loved me. And I thought it a little bit strange because I wasn't to the point to where I really knew what he was talking about yet. So it kind of took me back a little bit, but I understand it now. And it's a love that I feel for each and every one of you also, because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm very thankful for that. It is a family. I like to joke and kid around sometimes, and I say, yeah, sometimes the way we fight and bicker, we must be family. But that's a good thing, because when it comes down to it, I had two older brothers, and they pestered me to no end. But if there was somebody to come in from the outside and pester me, they loved me enough that they wouldn't let anything happen to me. And we have not only an expression of God's love, but He gave us a gift, and a gift in His Son. I'm going to start tonight in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. And it was read this morning, but I'm going to read it again. Matthew 22:34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, and they're asking Jesus, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And if you think about it, everything's tied up into that. Loving God and loving our neighbor as ourself. Says the same thing, except a little bit different, in Mark, the 12th chapter. And I'm going to read out of it also. Mark 12 and 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is likely, namely, this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any questions. The pure love of Jesus Christ, if we have that charity that I'll talk about, we're not far from the kingdom of God, because that's what it's all about. I'd like to go to John, the 15th chapter. If you think about it, all the other commandments are boiled down to those two. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. The committing adultery and all the shalt nots. We're told those because that's breaking that love. John 15, 12. Jesus speaking says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." And how did he love us? Well, he'll meet us wherever we're at in our life. Whether we be in the pit of sin and we decide that we want out, he'll meet us there and he'll help us out. He doesn't condone the sin. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." So see, this is, if we want to be friends with Jesus, we have to follow his commandments. "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye should ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." It's a commandment that we're supposed to love one another. So we best work on it. And this sermon's for me because I have to tell you, there are times that I struggle with truly having that charity in my heart for people. I fear sometimes that I've let my heart get hard. And I know that I have to have that. I can't get through to anybody the gospel of Jesus Christ unless I love them. I'd like to turn over to Romans in the 5th chapter. Because God loved us so much that he did send his Son. Romans 5, 6. "For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." The love that was sent down from God died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. Who would you die for? It's a question that I've asked myself if it came down to it. Who would I be willing to die for? Well, I'd die for my wife and my children. But it's a question you have to ask yourself. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Excuse me. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies, Christ died for us. While we were enemies to God. Now, he doesn't like our sin, but yet he came for the sinner. And I think of our children. And even when I know that they're doing wrong, I still love them. Lots of times I don't like what they've done, the same way as our Father in heaven doesn't like what we do. He doesn't condone it, but he still loves us, and he's just waiting for us to change. And we have all the scriptures here to read and to study and to live by to change our lives. But he loved us so much that he sent his Son to make that atonement for us. And you've heard me talk about atonement several times. I sometimes wonder if I don't mention it every time I'm up here. But because of the sin of Adam, we did become enemies to God, but by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we were brought back into presence. You know, the 8th chapter of Romans. Chapter 8, Romans 8:35. Paul speaking, and he's speaking of the love that God has for us, and he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Who? Shall tribulation or distress, the problems that we have to go through and all the things that come our way in life, will they separate us from Christ, from the love of Christ? Or persecution? Those things that come upon us, maybe because we're preaching the gospel, or that we profess to be Christian? Or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Put something out on the internet the other day, and because the question was asked, what's your motivator? It said we all have motivators. What's your motivator? And I thought about it. What is my motivator? You know, some of the things on there were silliness, but for some reason I took it as a serious question, and I thought, what is my true motivator in life? So I thought, well, to me, it's to make the cut at Judgment Day, that I can go to heaven. I'd like to say that motivates me each and every minute of every day, but it doesn't. But what's my motivator? And I quoted a couple scriptures. Actually, I quoted Matthew, where it talks about the great commandments. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. I put on there that I don't feel like I follow it as well as I should. But there was a comment that came on there that kind of set me back just a little bit. Said that they were tired of getting religion crammed down their throat. That they had their own relationship with God and it wasn't anybody else's business. Well, it opened up a lot of doors and I had a choice to make. I could have got really upset. What good of that would have done after I just quoted the two commandments about love? But I didn't feel that in my heart. So I explained to him that all I was doing was answering the question and it wasn't pointed at anybody. And that I was sorry that they were touchy today. And the next one that came back from this same individual was apologizing. And it worked out to be great. I'm hoping that we've become friends on the internet now. And I'm hoping that maybe some of the things I put on there will help them out in their life. Don't know. Time will tell. Where was I? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, we say that sin separates us from God, and it does. But here it's talking about the love that He has for us. And as I said just a few minutes ago, the way I can understand that is in kids and grandkids. That, yeah, they do things we don't like, but we still love them. I've got a couple examples of two ways we can be as a church. Page 684 in the Book of Mormon would be the fourth book of Nephi. I'm going to start at verse 25. This is the group of people a couple of generations after Christ had shown themselves to these children or to the people, and he had actually blessed the children and the third book of Nephi. And this is a couple of generations after that. And it came to pass that 200 years had passed away, and the second generation had all passed away, save it were a few. That would be from the time that Christ had shown himself to them. "And now I, Mormon, would that ye should know that the people had multiplied insomuch that they were spread upon all the face of the land, and that they had become exceeding rich because of their prosperity in Christ." "And now in this 201st year, there began to be among them those which were lifted up in pride, such as the wearing of costly apparel, and all manner of fine pearls, and of the fine things of the world. And from that time forth did they have their goods and their substance no more common among them, and they began to be divided into classes. And they began to build up churches unto themselves to get gain, and began to deny the true church of Christ. And it was because of the lifting up in pride, the pride that they had. It wasn't because they were wearing the clothes and the apparel that they wore. It was the reason they were doing it. And the reason that they were doing it was because they had pride in their hearts. They were saying, look at me, I got a tie and a vest on. I'm better than you are. It's not the case. The case was, is it was because of pride. And we have to be careful that pride doesn't come in amongst us. Because when you look at the rest of the world, we are rich. I think I'm not rich, but I am. I've got food I don't have to worry about. I've got a house over my head. I don't have to worry about that. I don't make a lot of money at my job, but it's constant, and I'm grateful for it. I haven't ever been laid off. I feel sorry for those that do. I feel very grateful that I've never been there. Because I know it can't be easy. And it came to pass that when 210 years had passed away, there were many churches in the land. Yea, there were churches which professed to know the Christ, and yet they did deny the more part of his gospel, insomuch that they did receive all manner of wickedness and did administer that which was sacred unto them to whom it had been forbidden because of unworthiness. And this church did multiply exceedingly because of iniquity and because of the power of Satan, which did get hold upon their hearts. Now, I'm not saying that Satan has got a hold upon our hearts. I'm not even saying that we're lifted up in pride. But it's something that we have to be careful of. Because this is what happened a little over two generations from the time Christ had blessed the children, had blessed their ancestors by his own hand. A little over two generations. It doesn't take long. And the Book of Mormon's full of times when they would prosper and then they would forget about their God and forget about the love that he had for them. And they would fall away. Yet there's another example in Romans, the 14th chapter. Romans 14, the 10th verse. But why dost thou judge thy brother? And why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I've fallen into that trap of being judgmental of others. Our job as ministry is to help you along your way and your walk in Christ. Try to guide you towards eternal life in heaven. However, if we don't do that with love in our hearts for the people that we're talking to, and I feel like myself anyway, that I'm being judgmental and the reasons that I'm talking to them are for all the wrong reasons. Because there will be a day when each and every one of us will stand before God and give account of ourselves by the life that we've lived and what's been in our hearts. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteem anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Christ died for the sinner. He died for each and every one of us. Thought you were going to ask a question. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. It's the lifting up of one another, that edification. Yeah, there are times we have to point out somebody's wrongness, and I sure hope I give each and every one of you permission that if you see me doing something that I shouldn't, bring it to my attention. But please do it in love, not to condemn me, but to help me along my way. But it is sure nice that sometimes you get pointed out the good things you do. Not to lift them up, but we need to hear it. It's the golden rule that comes into effect. And I'm not going to quote it very well, but it's do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The other day at work, I got humbled. I call it my office, but I drive a truck. It's a pretty good sized truck. If you know trucks, it's a Chevy 4500 with a cherry picker on the back. I don't know how else to explain it. It's got dualies and all this, and I've come to find out that dual wheels aren't the best in snow. They like to set on top and spin, and it doesn't take really much to stick one. And I do that about once or twice a winter because I can go anywhere. And God says, want to bet? So I stuck my truck. A guy I work with has the same type thing, and we carry chains on our trucks because we pull each other out fairly regular. And I was in this guy's driveway, and the more I tried to get out, the more I just slid deeper into the ditch. So he was trying to pull me out, and he would pull me one way, and then he'd have to turn around and pull me the other way, and it was slowly wiggling me out of the driveway to where I could get on pavement and drive. They got to a point to where it wasn't doing any good. And a couple of guys happened to be driving down the road in a wrecker, if you know what I mean. One of those trucks that has the pulleys and all the gadgetry to pull you out of the ditch. There are two of them in this truck, and one of them says, I think that's Mark and Fred down there. And so they came down, and the guy got out, and the guy driving the truck that owns it, he says, didn't you work on my phone a while back? And I said, keep going, I'll remember later. There's a lot of things go through this old head of mine during weeks and days. And the more that he explained, the more that he told me where he lived, and as soon as he said that, I said, yeah, that was me. He'd cut his line, and it was a mess, and he was putting in a water line, and it was watery, and it was just a slop hole when I had to fix it. But I must have treated him right. And the guy that was riding with him, the guy that I work with, we had both been to his house. And he was having some problems with the high-speed internet that we run across the phone lines. And we did some freebie work. Not that we get paid, but actually the phone company should have gotten, we should have charged them. However, I weigh these things out. And his wife was going to start working from home, and she really needed it, and it was easier to give him the freebie than to try to fix what was there. So actually, I saved the company money. They may not see it that way, but I did. So the guy that had the tow truck, he says, "I'll pull you out." I said, "No problem. I'll have to call my supervisor and get his company credit card from him so that he can pay you." And he says, "Nah." He says, "It's a freebie. You've helped me and my buddy out here before, and so we'll do that." So he hooked on to me, and he pulled me out. It took a little bit of doing. But for some reason, that humbled me. And I know why. It's because I do try to treat everybody fair without respect of persons. I don't always accomplish it, but it's a goal I have. I don't care if you live in a big mansion or if you live in a trailer park. When it comes to doing phone work, I figure you're paying the bill, so I'm going to do the best I can to keep you going. And I don't care who you are. I hope that didn't come across bad. So it humbled me that came back around to me. So it is nice to know that the things that you're out there doing and trying to help people and trying to live the gospel of Christ, that it comes back to you. 1 John. 1 John, the 4th chapter. I'm going to read starting at verse 7 through the end of the chapter. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be that he sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Propitiation? That's a big word to me. It's a regained favor or goodwill of, or to appease. And I've got atonement written underneath it. He sent his Son to atone for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Is that not so? Because he loved us so much that he gave us the greatest gift of all, his Son. He didn't just send him down here. He gave it to us as a gift. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. Trevor talked about that this morning, his Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. To me, it's self-explanatory. That people will know us by the love that we have one for another. That we don't gossip and backbite about one another. That we can be that different people, that the peculiar people. That people can see the love that we have for each other. And for those around us, actually. Those that may not even know God. I'm going to end with charity in the Book of Mormon. It's one that Trevor talked about. Paul talks about it also in the Bible. Page 767, 7th chapter of Moroni. I want to start with verse 49. And again, behold, I say unto you, that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain. For none is acceptable before God, save the meek and lowly of heart. If a man be meek and lowly in heart, and confesseth by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore, he must needs have charity. It must be important for us to have charity. And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. One I have to work on. Thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things. It's another one I have to work on, because I wonder, why is this happening to me? Well, I may not know the end of why it's happening to me at that time. Maybe I'm being taught something that I will need to know in the future. Like patience. Maybe he's teaching me long suffering. There are times I feel like giving up on trying to talk to certain individuals about Christ. It just doesn't seem like it's sinking in, and it seems like, what's the use? But then I remember that Christ never gave up on me. Even in some of my darkest hours, he still loved me. And he worked on my heart to change it so that I could change myself. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity. hang on to it with all your might. Cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail. But charity is the pure love of Christ. And it endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart. Sounds like to me it's pretty important if we're to pray with all the energy of our heart, that we may be filled with this love, which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ. We profess to be the true followers of Jesus Christ. So if that's the case, we better pray that we have charity in our hearts, that we may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as he is pure. Amen. I was thinking about love, and I ran across a definition that I really like, because I have problems sometimes putting love into words. I mean, I can say I love you. What's that mean to me? Well, I found this, and I'm going to read it. It's unselfish, benevolent. To me, that's a big word. I had to look up benevolent. Which is kindness, to be well-minded. So it's unselfish, benevolent concern for other persons. To love God supremely and to love others unselfishly are the most important commands of Jesus, because Christ's sacrificial death was the supreme expression of love. And it was. He gave himself on the cross because he loved us.